Hello, everyone. Good morning from New York. Hello, good morning and good evening, Philippines. Good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome. Welcome to our DNP election. And today we will be talking about licensing. Well, I'm waiting for my other co-host. We're waiting for a nurse, for Nurse Paul and Nurse A. We're having a hard time connecting. We're having a technical issue here. Anyway, so I would like to welcome each one of you. Please share our live today so everyone will be aware what we're talking about today. Share for your friends, Facebook. This is a very hot topic. If you want to work and live in the USA as a nurse, you have to learn more about licensing. And as you know, we have a 50 states in the US. Good morning, good evening. Hi, good morning from Texas. Hi, Nicholas. Hi, good morning. Please don't forget to share so everyone will benefit from this topic. Licensing, you cannot work without endless. So if you want to know and make sure you're doing the right way so you're not going to wait for money, time, effort, I encourage all of you to please share. Everyone will be knowledgeable. We know while I'm still waiting for my co-host over here on a Sunday morning in New York. So today we're going to talk about licensing. And we have a lot of topics that me and my host Kay will discuss about CGFNS. And as always, I have my notebook with me, so I will not gonna forget. And I'll make sure I cover everything. And our nurse all will discuss about epilepsy preparation, review, and all that stuff. While we are providing links, we're gonna provide you some resources. So you can always go back and check them. Okay, guys, can you tell us where you're from? We have one from Texas, and people are coming. Thank you so much for gracing your time with us. Let me check my friends over here. Meanwhile, why don't you comment and type your question for today? Welcome, each and everyone. Welcome to DNP a lot, and today we will be talking about licensing, as I said earlier. We will give you some enlightenment, tips, and tricks, how to make the application and clip easier on your part. Today we will dive into the importance of nursing license for a very important step in the journey of healthcare professional. Nursing license for is not merely a formality. It's a commitment to uphold the highest standards of patient care, ethics, and professionalism. It's a testament to the dedication and competence of those who chose this noble profession. We will explore the importance of nursing licensure, the requirements, the process, and the significance it holds for both aspiring and seasoned nurses, as well as travel nurses too. Whether you are a nursing student aspiring to become a licensed or experienced nurse or a travel nurse, look on to stay current. So without further ado, let's dive into the roles of nursing, licensure, where competence meets comparison and professionalism, and of course meets patient care. While waiting for my other co-host, Dr. Nurse Paul and Nurse Kay. And I believe Dr. Nurse Paul is coming in. Hi for Erwin from North Carolina and family. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Please don't forget to share, like, share the knowledge, share the wealth. If you're planning to work here in the US, this will be beneficial to you. And you're also a traveler. Okay, so while waiting for our co-host, let me start. First, I look at the successful application process. I know, so everyone's asking, I would like to work in the U.S., Miss Anna. So how can I work in the U.S.? I graduated my nursing, so I want to work in the U.S. So what will I do? So if you want to work in the U.S., you have to have a license. You kind of practice here without license. So I aim for my Philippines. I would like to make a little comparison for you to be able to understand more. So in the Philippines, our license for bug is PRC, or professional regulatory. That's the equivalent of the NCLEX here in the US. And as a nurse, you cannot work without NCLEX. It's an equivalent license. So where do I go, Ms. Anna? Group or company. So we have NCSBN. What is NCSBN? It's a National Council of State Boards of Nursing. Remember, nurses or healthcare workers, we have it states. Okay, and those states, they are a member of National Council. And the National Council or NCSBN play a crucial role in the field of nursing regulation in the U.S. They regulate the nursing license for. So what is NCLEX? NCLEX is a standard guide examination for licensing nurses in the U.S. You cannot work without it. I keep repeating that. It's a computerized test. And who are eligible? Eligibility for, of course, the nurses that you graduated. So let me clarify this. You are here already in the U.S., the application or NCLEX differs or vary. If you are an IEN in our national educated graduate, like I was, like me, I graduated from the Philippines, the process and the steps are a little complicated, but doable and possible. But however, for those who are in the U.S., Americans, or born here, it's very straightforward. I will be offering my topic with those who are not from the U.S., the foreign graduates. Okay, so in order for you to have a successful application for the NCLEX, first, Ms. Anna, which is the easiest step or easiest state? So as I mentioned, there are 50 states. I know, U.S., United States of America, but the Board of Nursing are not united. They have their own requirements, they have their own eligibility, and it varies. And from what I researched, there are the top five or top six most states to apply: New York, Connecticut, Northern Mariana, New Mexico, right, Carpal?
Yep, right.
And so first, if you're working in a state, for example, you apply in an agency, and we were assigned in New York or Northern Maria or other states, it doesn't necessarily mean that you could apply your NCLEX in there. You have to work smart and not hard, according to my friend A. So choose a state that will cater for what you need, which is the NCLEX test. For example, I chose New York. You're going to go to the Board of Nursing website, NYSED. You are going to check the requirements, the eligibility. So as a foreign graduate, they will ask your school documents. They will ask for your license. For example, like me, I have a license from PRC. But let me correct myself. New York doesn't really require PRC. So that's one of the advantages of applying your eligibility in New York. But I always encourage those who graduated nursing to always, always take the nursing license for where you're from, because it will offer you more options. It will be more beneficial for you, and it will not limit your capacity or your opportunity to apply for an NCLEX. After you submit it, you are gonna wait for the Board of Nursing to be eligible. Now, a lot of people ask me, how much, Ms. Anna, how much? It really depends. I will take you from New York as an example. Eligibility is 143 application is 140 plus. It's been like 8 years ago. So, but they will always update it in the website. So first, choose a state, comply with the requirement. The requirement are you putting your school document to make sure you have your document correctly, and you know in the Philippines or in your country, each time they will ask for your transcript or your what do you call this? Your experiences, and some states require fingerprinting. But from what I remember in New York, they never asked for my fingerprint. Some states require for you to ask for jurisprudence. I believe in Texas, right? For all you have to ask
yes,
for jurisprudence.
Yes. That is
but
correct.
In New York, you have to ask for your infection control and child abuse. And during my time, CVS from CGFNS was required, but now again, slow, the application is straightforward. And then after you're gonna follow up. It will take a while before New York is the fastest one, but because of the volume it have, so now it takes a little slower. So you have to really keep an eye on your email or follow up if you feel like it's taking longer than the usual. When you have the eligibility, then you're gonna have an authorization to ask. So let me repeat, choose a state. It doesn't really mean that the state we're gonna work. Comply with the requirement. I suggest for you to print out the requirement so you can go over it one by one and you're not gonna miss any items that they require. It will save you time, it will save you effort. And there are so many other applicants, you are not the only nurse applying for the eligibility. So make sure you're not going to miss anything. And also get to know how to acquire a document from your school, from your licensing badge, for example, if you're from the Philippines. In PRC, there's a lot of application also going on in there. From what I believe, main PRC in Manila, there's no available schedule. So all of these minor steps will make a huge impact in your application. And in order for it to be avoided, you have to be one step forward. So get to know all of these process, documents, the fees. And now some other states also require fingerprinting. Some other states require criminal backgrounds. So, and then you're gonna pay for it, like what I said, it varies by state. Now that you have it, you have an agency authorization to test. You can apply for schedule your test from Board of Nursing, from NCSBN. Now you're going to Pearson View. That's where you're going to schedule your test. Pearson View, they're interconnected in terms of after you pass your requirements for the Board of Nursing, NCSBN, then the Pearson View, you're going to choose a state location. When I took the test 2006 from the Philippines, there have no available, Philippines was not one of the asking locations yet, so I had to go to Hong Kong. Now again, we have in Philippines, and we're always booked up, so make sure you plan ahead. It's all about planning, it's all about preparing, and getting to know all of these minor steps that will play a big role in or making your application in NCLEX smooth and successful. And after you have the schedule, you have to pay again. So it's a big investment. I'm not gonna lie, you're gonna spend money, you're gonna spend effort, time for it. So make sure you pay this one. You have to have a lot of discipline. I also suggest to make an email address specifically for your NCLEX. All the documents for your school and for PRC. So it's not gonna be all over the place and elsewhere. And make sure you always check your email and make sure the information in your documents are accurate. You're not missing anything. When I applied before, my original state was California. And California is Mormons are very beautiful, like New York. But Grand California, before I forgot, there are other states that require for you to have a social security. So that's another disadvantage of California from point of view. So that's why a lot of people, a lot of nurses are applying to New York because you're going to have a social security. And for your information, you cannot have a social security if you are not here in the US and if you're not working. I receive a lot of people messages to me, Mom, where can I find the social security number? And I always ask them, are you still in your country? Yes, Mom. So you can never have it. So I suggest be smart, choose a state that will work on your end or have the endless application. So what are the common errors? How to have a successful application? Prevent this error. Number one, incomplete application. You're always in a hurry. You're not reading the instructions well. Reading is a must. Reading is a key. Okay? Will not be in a hurry. If you need to have a highlighter, use a highlighter. And second, incorrect fees. If you're paying less than the amount, it will not be processed. And it's a dollar. It's a lot of money. So make sure you're sending correct fees. Some states require you accept. Also, some states you can pay online. Some states require you to have a credit card or a debit card. And another thing, meeting deadlines. So remember, or the one that I gave an example earlier in New York, you have to submit an application for your school, and then you have to submit an document from ERC. Or if you don't have an ERC, it's also fine. But schools, they have a lot of applications and backlog too. So now it lapses. So you have to be on top of those deadlines. And name discrepancy, do not forget if you have a letter I or E, make sure it's I, it's readable. Okay, you cannot say, oh, I'm sorry, I put the wrong letter at the end of the name. No, it will cost you a lot. And criminal background check issues. For all, in Texas, do you have a criminal background, right?
Yes, it's required. It's a standard for compact license states to do criminal background. So if you're going to be in a compact license state, all of them will do criminal background check.
And when I apply in New York, they only require fingerprint, that's what I remember. And in California, I'm sorry, they only require fingerprinting. And in New York, they do not require any criminal background or fingerprinting. That's why go to New York State, not because I live here. And then providing false information, you cannot do that, okay? Make sure you have a correct information, your school, your year, because they will ask also document from your school and they will compare it. Like, I'm approved, you say this, but your school is saying this. Okay, do not sabotage yourself. And not reviewing application. Okay, I'm done, I sign it, sent. No, you have to review, go over it one more time, over and over again. Check your spelling, date of birth, the year, and the address, and the email address too. And failure to verify the eligibility. So a lot of people are like, I've been waiting and waiting, Miss Anna. I sent a lot of emails to the Board of Nursing. I haven't received it. But you were not verified yet. The Board of Nursing requiring and asking for more information, more documents. So one of my, before when I used to have a business for years practicing, we have to do it all over again because the Board of Nursing of New York failed to verify her eligibility because we have some discrepancy with her grade of birth. So it really matters. And incomplete supporting documents. Now, the Board of Nursing will require your school to submit their documents, not you as an applicant. Your school must submit it. It must be signed, sealed, with the school sealed. Okay, the Board of Nursing will find out if it came from the applicant. Do not try your luck. Do not save some money. Oh, Mom, I'm going to pay extra $500 you know, it goes over your career, but you're going to be safer than sorry. Okay, number 11, delay in registering orgasm. Now remember, everything has an expiration date. As I said, everything has a time limit. So in New York, the eligibility and drug has no expiration. But if you apply in other states, there's an expiration. And if they require the PRC, your license from the Philippines, it expires, we have to go all over again. So make sure everything's up to date and make sure that the deadlines are, you're meeting it. And number 12, not keeping records. When I was applying 10 years ago, I always want to have a copy. I always auto-copy it. So whatever will happen, I have a support document. I can always reach out to the Board of Nursing or NCSBN. Now you can screenshot it, you can scan it, save it PDF, work smart, okay, everybody nurses. So for all, a lot of people are asking me, I know you're paying for my math, cop-up license. Cop-up license, so what is it? So now we're 49 states in the U.S. And unfortunately, New York is not one of them. Cop-up license are the license that the latest one who has is Pennsylvania. This is when you have one license, but you can practice with the other states, but you have to reside in that state. What I'm trying to say is, for example, I'm from New York, right? New York is not one of them. And mom, does it work that if I want to apply in Texas or in Pennsylvania, their cop-up license, does it mean I can also work in other states with cop-up license? No, you have to leave and reside in that state. It will be beneficial if you're a traveling nurse. Do you have a cop-up license for all?
Yes.
You have one,
so,
right?
Yeah, let me explain
more.
But yeah, for our viewers that are here, good morning, by the way. Can you please do us a favor if you can share the show to everyone and tell us where you're coming from so we can acknowledge you guys. That way we can have an interactive, very interactive show. Anna has shared very good information about the NCLEX, but we would love to know what thoughts you have and what questions you may have so we can address them as well. But cop-up license is your ability to practice in other states without getting licensed to that state. As explained earlier, there are 50 states, and for you to practice, you must have license for each of the states because it's a federal type of government, which means each state is sovereign, each state has its own rules. So you cannot just jump to another state and practice as a nurse. Even if it's one country, you must have a license. The compact license decreases this problem by giving you the ability to work to other states without having that license. If I'm from Texas, I can work in other 30 plus states without having a license in those states. The only thing that you need to remember is you must be a resident of one of the compacts. So if I'm from Texas, I'm a resident of Texas, that gives me the ability to do compact, all right? So, or work in compact states. If I'm not from Texas and say I'm from California, which is not part of compact, and I get a Texas license, it's called single state license. So there are two types of licenses. The single state license, if you're not a resident, and the compact license if you are a resident. So if you are not a resident of one of the compacts, you are not eligible for compact licenses.
Hi, Ms. Jean.
Ms. Jean is watching us today, and Bren is also watching us from Texas.
The mother of a mother. Mother is mothering.
Yeah. And for clarification for our non-Filipino viewers, because Anna has been able to process Filipino processing. PRC is, she kept mentioning earlier, PRC. PRC is your nursing governing body in the Philippines. So she was pertaining to nursing license for the Filipinos, all right? Each country is different. There are countries that require license. there are countries that do not have licenses. It's called diploma, or your bachelor's degree is equivalent to your ability to practice as an RN, and you don't need a license. So verify with your own board of nursing or governing body for nursing in your country if you need a license or not to practice. If you don't need a license to practice, you just send your diploma to the US, to whichever state you apply for. And if you need a license, then you must have that license from the country where you graduated and where you came from before you apply for the US. That will make the process faster. And for those who are confused, NCSBN is a state boards, National Council of State Boards of Nurses. And eligibility is when you apply for the NCLEX and the board approves you. ATT is your permit to take the exam. Pearson View is, so NCSBN makes the exams. Pearson View delivers the exam through the computer. So two different organizations. So it's a multiple step process, complicated.
I know.
People would need help to do that. Sometimes some people are detail oriented and they can do it themselves. See what works best for you, but be very thorough. Anna shared multiple steps, how to prevent errors on application and what makes it easier, what will make it easier for you to get that application process going smoothly.
That's a very nice easy way how to describe the process of NCLEX. So as you know, it requires time to learn and money or financing because you're going to pay the eligibility for the exam and for the venue, the person view. So make sure that you are doing it correctly to save yourself from losing money and time. And like the owners all said, when I did it by myself, but it's non-stop reading, non-stop researching, and during my time, for all, we have the Aura already, but not like nowadays. We have Facebook, we have social media, you have YouTube that you can ask for. So please utilize those resources. And NCSBN, they have a step-by-step. I will post the link later. You can also email and send them letter, email, they will send you a copy of how to do it. But now everything's available in the website. So thank you for all. And
they can actually check. NCSBN created a website specifically for NCLEX. I don't know if moderators can flash this, but the website is called NCLEX.com. So it's super easy to remember. NCLEX.com. This is a website specifically created by NCSBN. For test preparers, it has everything from state board.
So good morning, everyone. Sorry for joining in later. Again, I was having technical problem in my PC, so I have to jump in my car so I can have my own space here. I don't know what happened there, but here I am. I just want to add something about what Anna said earlier about your licensing. For me, license is actually an investment, okay? Having those licenses can give you opportunities to work in different states of your choice. Having that ready ahead of time, it gives you a leverage to have the freedom and in control of your career. So I do recommend everyone, writing your goals and setting where you really want to work. You know, write down your goals, identify those places where you want to work, at least two to three places, and then write down the reasons why you want to work there. I recommend this to people because not a lot of people would enjoy their first year, second year, and sometimes they would be locked up in a situation where they feel like this is not working for them. They don't have support system. And I always tell them, once you feel like this is not for you, don't wait till the last minute. Consider this license as an investment. As a traveling nurse, I always tell people that, at least you have to have two to three licenses in different states because you don't want your success to be dictated by recruiters wherever they want to tell to send you. You don't want your success to be dictated with what's in your hand available. You want to be dictated. You want your success to be dictated how you want it done. The you know, what's best for you, because opportunities are there everywhere, but it does not mean those opportunities are actually good for you and for your goals in life. So think of licenses as an investment. If this license can give me to my goals, it is worth paying for, even though I'm paying right now 3 states at a time, 4 states at a time as a travel nurse. Actually, I do keep one license, which is New York. New York license is active for, you know, ever since I got here in the United States, even though I have not been working in New York for a while. But when pandemic hit, even I was outside New York, I was able to help back and go to those places. Because New York is very hard to get a license. California mm-hmm. is very hard to get a license. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
All have
other
one.
States will be easier than this. California and New York are your hardest states. If those are harder to get, I will not keep it inactive. Mm-hmm. And right now, I'm in Maryland. I overlooked because I have not worked in Maryland for a while. And then it said, oh, you have to go do your finger scanning again, your fingerprinting and stuff. Oh, my God. You know, because I missed to activate those things, then it's a hassle. But it's not as hassle as California and New York. So mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend you guys keeping those important state licenses active. And the compact state is very helpful. It gives opportunity to everyone to move around, especially during this shortage of nursing.
Right. And yeah, like I was saying, everything is available for you guys in NCLEX.com. It's a website created by NCSBN. It has all the state boards, websites or links. It has the test preparation, you know, the processing and all that. But we can also flash the map of the, what's this? The compact. So do it understand a compact. So with me being a resident of Texas, I can practice on all states that are color blue.
Blue, yeah.
And I think PA is also joining soon. They're already on
process,
right? It's light blue, which means we're just waiting for implementation. Washington State over the West Coast has a pending legislation, which means it can be approved for compact or not. So which means if I'm from Texas and I have the compact license, I have the ability to move to all these states to practice temporarily. If I move permanently, then I would still need to get a license in that state. So for example, if I go to Arizona for a temporary contract, like travel nurse contract or agency contract, or I'm just gonna try it out for 2 months before I decide if I want to be there permanently, I do not have to apply for Arizona license. I can just use my Texas license, which is under compact, and practice there. Now, if you're not a resident of any of the compact and you apply for a license in these states, you do not get a compact license. Mm-hmm. You only get a single state license or SSL. You can verify that in your nurses.com profile. But with me, because I'm compact, I'm able to work in these states, but I also have extra licenses in California and Hawaii, because I practice in Hawaii. I was going to practice in California, but I eventually ventured into practicing my NP license instead. But I don't think California and New York would ever give it into compact. They have so many nurses, and they want to be able to control the flow of nursing. And of course, I hate to say it, but it's money for the state boards. If there is a compact, they would lose those income from application processes, because the money will be distributed to all the compact, and I don't think they like that. But
I think Paul, I'd like to comment on that. I think New York is starting to boil it. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah,
but I believe New York has started. Like, it's not going to be instant. Like before, New Jersey has enacted to be part of the compact. But when I called, they said, yeah, we pass it, but we have not implemented it. So two different phase of enacting it and implementing it. So even if the state says, oh, we enacted or we passed to be compact, it does not mean that you have already access to work in those states. So you will have to ask, is it already implemented? So you have to ask those states, because like in New York, they're working on it, and then the next phase will be enacting it, and then the third phase will be implementing it.
Right.
You're right, Clay. From what I remember, a few months ago, I spoke in the Quora, the new governor here. We're in the process of talking about it, about the, but like what you said, it will take time. I hope I'm not that old when it happens.
Yeah, it's all about legislation. So if you're leaving these states that are not compact, write to your congressman. That will help mobilize the nurses during the pandemic. What they actually did, New York and California, they had to do emergency authorization to practice. Even Illinois, I have an emergency temporary license to Illinois, because they were not part of the compact. Imagine if there was compact, there is no need for emergency authorization for licenses, because you can just navigate freely because it's already compact. But that was what happened. So it's just an extra red tape. But you know, we cannot move without proper legislation, and it's all about legislation in the US. I guess it's all the same in other countries. So that's what you need to advocate for in your state. I currently do not have this problem because I'm in the compact state as long as I live in Texas.
You know, I had a problem with New Jersey licensing one time.
Yeah.
I was already licensed in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Maryland, and I was applying for my New Jersey license, and I applied for endorsement. I've been living in the United States more than 15 years, and New Jersey State told me, oh, you have to go back to your country to verify your credentials. I'm like, but my New York already verified that and endorsed. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts did the same. All the states endorsed, and they said, am I applying for initial application or endorsement? And they told me, no, it's an endorsement. But it's endorsement is making me go back all the way to Philippines and go to PRC, go to my board regulation, go to my school. It was chaotic. And I'll be honest, there are states that are very hard to apply. Not because they're hard, but sometimes when you're a foreign nurse, it's harder when you're a foreign graduate. So New Jersey is not hard to apply when you're local graduate.
Yeah.
But when you're foreign, it's really hard. I think those are the states where there's, you know, I think rise of number of fraudulent documents or fraudulent practices. So when you go to those places where it's very high population and there are a lot of instances that fraudulent documentation or graduation documents were submitted, I think those states become very tough. Not to domestic nurses, but I believe in foreign graduates. So if you are planning to go to different states and you might need to transfer your certification, I mean your license, let's say even if you belong to a compact state and moving to a new state, and then you will have to reapply that. Keep in mind that if you're a foreign graduate or with foreign credentials, you might have longer processing versus those local American graduates. So just keep that in mind and make sure you put that in your timeline when you plan to.
May I just add, for example, if you are in a compact license state, for example, I'm from Texas, right? And I want to move to another compact, let's say, give me a state. And
Colorado.
That's part of compact.
New York.
Part of compact.
How about
Maryland is a compact state.
Maryland, yeah. So you say, for example, I need to move to Maryland, all right? The process is actually much smoother. If I move to Maryland, I have to apply for Maryland license because I'm moving residency. It's still part of compact, but because I'm moving residency, I have to apply for Maryland. If I apply for Maryland, the process is much smoother, actually, because I was originally license in a compact state. With my compact state license, Texas, I did my credential evaluation when I applied for Texas license, right? So that credential evaluation is part of my nurse's profile. Mm-hmm. That way, when I do the nurse's background verification to transfer that information to Maryland, Maryland will see that I already did my credential evaluation and that Texas already reviewed it, which is another NCSBN compact state. They would not require me to do credential evaluation anymore. That's the beauty. If you're part of compact and you did your credential evaluation, it will become permanent file with your nurses. You can actually ask nurses and it will say, yes, you did your credential evaluation and it's part of it. It's part of the rule of compact to have standardized legal requirements. There are five. I forgot all five of them, but one of it is your credential evaluation. Another one is criminal background check. And another one is you're graduated from nursing. So there are five. So those are standards, which means it becomes part of your actual nurses. Nurses is your online verification for license profile that when it gets transferred to another state, they'll see that. The only issue is when you move out of compact, that's when they're going to require credential evaluation again. So when I applied for New York, it took me 8 months. They wanted credential evaluation. They didn't. New York does not allow third-party credential evaluation.
No.
They evaluate credentials themselves in-house. And that used to be the thing before CGMS became the dominant credential evaluation player. But California does that. I'm sorry, did I say New York? I meant California. So California does that in-house. I think New York would still require credential verification services from CGFNS. It is, you can do it or you cannot. But if it were me, if I'm the new applicant, I would tell you this. I would do the credential evaluation now. All right. Before I left the Philippines, I did a credential evaluation. So when I moved to the States, I didn't have problems anymore because I already got it done. And it's much easier for me to apply, except California, because they do it in-house. So at least you already have the credential evaluation on record, something like that. That's the most complicated part. That's to prevent fraud. I think Kay will touch up on that later if we still have time. But the licensing alone is the CGFNS and preventing fraud and all that. I was just reading the news last night that they were the fraudulent diplomas from Florida. They were able to put four people in jail already, and they're the owners of the school. So they're also cracking down from within the country, not only outside the U.S. But I'm gonna tell you that outside U.S. there are really fraudulent schools. So that kind of messes the game for everybody. That's why you can understand why the states have to be very, very strict with requirements. And it's understandable. It's a hassle, but it's for the protection of everybody. It's, after all, it's nursing. And we need to make sure that people are really educated to be nurses, because you don't want to be working with someone who has questionable educational background, right? Imagine if I'm working in the ER and I see someone, and I've had a couple of coworkers. I'm like, are you really a nurse? Let me go back to my computer and check the nurses, because maybe you're not who you are saying you are, right? Kind of like that.
Yeah, when I actually got that message for Florida licenses, I mean Florida school fraudulent, I'm like, oh, it's not like a wow, like, oh my God, you know, because I feel like, I've seen some in the Philippines happen, right? Seen some in other countries that have been doing this, and I'm very happy though that they are cracking it here in the United States, because it's really, you know, human lives that is at risk. You don't mess up with people's lives here.
Right.
You're fooling two people, not only the nurses, you're victimizing the patients, the end patients too.
Exactly.
So it's very difficult to comprehend how these people actually are, you know, can stomach it. But I have personally worked side by side with fraudulent nurses. Somebody told me when I was working, hey Kay, you know, this person in this room said that she worked in this hospital, but didn't you work in that hospital too? I said, yeah, when? And then I said to her, yeah, during the times that she mentioned, I worked there. I don't know her at all, at all. And I can ask those people who have worked, and they verified that she never worked in that hospital. She fraudulently did her credentials for some reason. I don't know how she get away with it, but all of a sudden she got missing in the middle of the shift. She ran away when she probably figured out that people found out that she's fraudulent. And there was an investigation that that happened there, and they said that she was never a nurse. She was a psych patient from somewhere and fraudulently copied somebody's credentials, and for some reason it was able to pass through agencies. And it was really alarming.
The problem here is when you check the nurse's report, there are no pictures.
Exactly.
So people can, like, I mean, I always get the Texas letter, the Texas Board of Nursing letter every month. They still do it snail mail. And they would always show people that have fraudulently used someone's license and pretended it's them because they have the same name.
And same birth date too.
Yeah, that's a problem. I don't think there can anyone be Paul Biluan because it's such a specific name and such a Filipino name. Nobody.
My name is very common.
And during the pandemic, right, Kay, I don't know if you've encountered this, but I really worked with some sketchy nurses that I'm like, are you really? Look, I work in the ER, right? We always say in the ER, we know if you're from ER just by how you move and how you talk, because ER is such a different world where you have to be able to practice by yourself but also be able to join with the team. And it's different when you say, I have 10 years ER experience. You just don't say those things. We see you in action, you know, because ER is, it's a wild world, you know. It's like chaotic.
Wild west.
It's very chaotic. You can have definitely a flavor of everything, right? So it's hard to fake that for me. So I guess it comes with every specialty. I guess if you guys are in the OR, you would also know someone's actually there.
Oh my God. Yeah. I worked in an imposter in pandemic, and we were doing a trauma. And this person said that she was an OR nurse. And as soon as we opened the belly, she almost threw up. I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm like, you cannot.
She's not from
this.
The OR. Right.
No, I have experience for like this nurse bragging, oh, I work in a trauma hospital, so and so from this street. But when we have a trainee, it's like, what if bone was? You know, the simple thing, the simple supply or herb that kind of really comprehend. And I was like,
right.
I thought you have a 10 years, 20 years over experience. And it turned out, we found out that she worked in an outpatient, but more on IHS, you know, I mean.
I worked with a nurse that said he has like 15 years ER experience, and he's doing travel nursing, and he was earning 120 an hour. And then he started getting stroke patients, right? Because with travel nursing or like agency nurses, you're lucky if you get a day of orientation. Within the first week, he got his first cold stroke patient, and it was bothering me the whole time while I was busy with my own septic patients and all that. And it's like, bro, how can I do this? Bro, what am I gonna do next? Bro, what am I gonna check? Oh, what am I gonna tell them in the report? I was like, dude, it's stroke protocol. So we do this, we do that, we do that. I was like, have you not done stroke before? Because I was already getting like so confused because of the way he was acting. And he said, oh, it's because we do it differently where I work. I was like, dude, like stroke protocol is the same everywhere. We just follow the standard, like the guideline. Like, I don't know what's different. I was like, you start your TPA, this is how you mix your TPA. It's the same everywhere. And I started getting suspicious. I had to report him to charge. I was like, hey, keep an eye on this guy because I'm worried about the stroke patient. But I think after a week, he never came back or something. We learned that he was not really, he's been an ER nurse. I mean, his last ER experience was probably like more than 5 years ago. He was working as a jail nurse. So everything was probably new to him. I don't know. But just be honest, you know, like it will be, you'll get more sympathy and people will work with you if you're honest. But if he claims something that you're not, then all of these pressure will go to you, the burden, you know. And the worst part is not even you pretending something you're not, right? It's actually the lives of the patients, right? And I'm very big with patient advocacy when I'm at work. So whenever I have sketchy nurses, I have a nurse training before. I was telling her, because it's a kiddo, so we're going to give Tylenol suppository. And she said, I've never done that. I was like, you've never given a suppository? Like, what school did you graduate from? Because I want to know, like, did they not teach you guys how to do a suppository for a kiddo? It's a tiny suppository, so something like that. But fraudulent schools, it's crazy. Like, when I think about it, yeah, right, the news blew up last year. When I think about it, I was like, ooh, some of them I might have worked with during the pandemic, because there were thousands of nurses from everywhere coming in for COVID response. Mm-hmm. Some of them are really, really sketchy. And I heard some of them are actually went for ICU, because ICU always gets the highest bill during the pandemic. They would get $10 more, $15 more. Oh my God, I'm an ER nurse. I would never step into the ICU, period. Because I know my limits and I don't want to kill somebody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But these nurses have the guts. Like, oh, I'm going to do ICU for the money.
Yeah, they're very risk taker. Not only risk taker, I think they're desperate. Some people are just financially challenged and desperate that they will just do everything, and they're going to do this decision recklessly.
Losing their minds.
Anyway, I want to move forward with the CGFNS to give you an overview. For foreign graduates, CGFNS, your commission for graduate of foreign nurse, previously, they're the one that will give you at least a certificate so you can practice temporarily in the United States as a Filipino. For other countries, this is still happening because the history of that, a lot of people have traveled to NCLEX exam sites outside their countries, and people would spend so much money for airfare, for accommodation, for NCLEX exam, and then people would fail, and there's a lot of failures in NCLEX. So America said, you know, people will not lose that opportunity to lose those exams and lose all those monies. Why don't we create something that will help them gauge first if they will pass NCLEX? So CGFNS created a CGFNS certification, which will give you an estimate if you're going to pass or fail the NCLEX. So you don't have to waste all those money going to those NCLEX countries where they hold the exams. So CGFNS certification happened. And when I arrived in New York, I actually only had my CGFNS certificate that made me work, able to work and be petitioned by my employer to New York. And the terms there is I have to pass my NCLEX within 6 months. So New York gave me that job, and I was able to be petitioned, sponsored by my employer. But right now, because NCLEX is available to Philippines, they are not using that, as far as I know, correct? They're not using anymore.
Yeah. Certification program, I think only two or three states that require that.
Yeah, so that's very important. CGFNS, I'm not a representative of CGFNS, but this is something that a lot of people use worldwide. But I believe there's a lot of other companies also with your certification or credentials verification and your visa screen. So there, you know, you have to research all those available services for you guys.
All right, so that's credential evaluation.
Always remember, your licenses will be your health and your work and your license
is your best investment. Without those two, without your health and without your license, your assets will all go down. So right. I always keep that too in your heart and in your mind, to have those licenses and your health good and active. Okay.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Kay. Last in, first out.
Right. Okay, and let me ask about CEMS. It's not a license, everyone. And someone sent me a message just now, Mom. So does it mean I can work only with CEMS? No, CEMS is not a license. NCLEX is the license. CEMS offers a lot of services aside from the certification exam. I have that before. During my time, like pay, I can also leave a country, live in work in the US with CEMS class only and not NCLEX. But nowadays, no, you must have an NCLEX exam in order to be admitted by a company. And another service of CEMS is CES, Prevention Evaluation Services. This screen, very important to be part of your immigration document. It will be asked during your interview. Now, in order for you to have a visa screen, you must pass an English test. So this document, this requirement, they're interrelated, and you cannot just go, you got the other one. So you have to really do a lot of self-learning, research. There's a lot of resources available. And always tune in with the Corner's All personal blog. He shares a lot of reels, you know, a lot of posts about it. I'm to make notes. I'm to plan ahead, set your goals, and get to know all of the services. If you need to print out the copy and highlight it in order for you to understand it, do it. And if you're still confused, there are companies that offer services, but of course, it will cost another money from your end. There's nothing wrong with that if that would work for you. During my time, I did it all DIY. It saves me money. It gave me more knowledge that now that I am sharing with other nurses. So CES, CVS New York, it's also a certified organization, or New York only. I did that also before. Visa Screen. I don't know for the other services, right? For all from the CGFNS.
Yeah. So again, CGFNS main two services that you need to know: certification program, which is the exam, like NCLEX, it's a predictor. That is not needed anymore. Only two or three states need it. It's obsolete. Go straight into prepare for the NCLEX. The other one is credential evaluation, which is to prove that your education is actually matching the U.S. academic nursing program, or because there's different levels of nursing. There's vocational nursing, there's registered nursing or bachelor's degree nursing, there is CNAs. So they need to find out, is it matching? In the Philippines, it's easy because we only have RNs. In other countries, they have multiple levels of nursing too. So that's what credential evaluation is doing. Is it matching to the RN program, or are you like more like vocational or practical nurse? But CGFNS is not only the provider of credential evaluation. They're taking such a long time to process papers right now, but you have EREF, you have Joseph and Silney,
right? Yep.
So there are many providers. Each boards of nursing would require you to do credential evaluation, and they would have options. So CGFNS is not the only provider. There are many providers, depends on each board. And Anna, I was just looking at the compact license earlier, right? So I tried to pull my own record from nurses.com, and it actually shows me the map of where I can practice.
Oh, that's cool.
All the blue colors, I can practice. That includes a Y right there. So the, and that's California. That's extra license. It's not compact. But because I have multiple licenses plus a compact, it shows me what states I can practice. And you can do that as well if you have already passed your NCLEX. You can check in nurses.com, and it will actually tell you what states you're eligible to practice. That's my name right there, and it's a public record, so you can check it as well because of the compact license. We have a question from Anna. By the way, we have viewers from Everlene is coming from Kenya. Thank you. Anna is from Cameroon, I think. Anna said, could the CGFNS visa screen give you leverage to work in the US even without? I'm sorry, I have to go closer to the screen because I'm just using my phone. My computer won't boot up today. Even without the NCLEX. For someone from Cameroon. I think visa screen would require NCLEX. For you to get a visa screen, you need license or a proof or credential evaluation that your nursing program matches with the US. And you need an NCLEX, an English exam. So without passing the NCLEX, you will not be able to get a visa screen. And visa screen is required for immigrant employment-based petition, only for E3 visas or E2. So that's it. Visa screen comes after the NCLEX. Do we have any more question? Dr. Nurse Paul, I'm sorry, my question is not nursing license. I'm sorry.
Let me read it. I just want to ask. Call a friend, Paul.
Yes, please.
For good or nurse, Paul, I'm sorry for my question. It's not licensing related. I just want to ask if MSN acquired in the Philippines, way in the US. Thank you.
Okay, so there are different levels of master's degree nursing here in the States. There are different focuses or majors. You can use your MSN because it's equivalent to the US. Mm-hmm. If you are doing administration or you're going as an academic person or faculty, yes, you can use it. But there are MSN degrees that are advanced practice, like not CRNA because they're doctorate now beginning 2022. Nurse practitioners, nurse midwives, clinical nurse specialists, nurse informaticists, those are highly specific focuses or specialty. You cannot use your MSN for that. You would have to take extra courses, post-credentials, or post-certificate credentials or post-certificate degrees. But if you're only gunning for administration or for academic positions, then MSN can be used. But you have to have it evaluated, credential evaluation again, to make sure that it matches the U.S. master's degree. For the most part, it is, because Philippines academic programs are patterned after US, not 100%, but we follow the American academic curriculum. So it is matching. Yes, I didn't have to take an extra MSN here in the States because I already have my master's degree in the Philippines. I went straight for the DNP doctorate program, but my DNP did not only grant me a doctorate degree, it also allowed me to sit for the NP boards, which is advanced practice, because my DNP, I took a dual major, major in education, nursing education, and nurse practitioner. So something like that. But yes, if you have master's degree outside the US, you can use it in the US, but not for advanced practices. For advanced
and
practices,
don't worry.
You have to do extra courses.
We will talk about that soon. That's going to be one of our future topics.
Yes, you know, actually.
A lot of people are asking me about if my master's equivalent for US and if it's going to waste my money and my time going to school. We will talk about that. We will just ask more about that. So stay tuned.
Right.
Right, purple.
Yes, and I think we're supposed to talk about NCLEX today, but the actual NCLEX preparation, but I think we're just going to defer that to another show because licensing itself is its own beast. And there's so many things that we need to know. At the beginning of the show, guys, if you can watch again, because we just had a boost with viewership and right towards the last half. And we've had boost of viewership. Towards the first half of the show, Anna shared very vital information about application and licensing processes. So if you guys can please rewatch the show, share it, and tag your friends on it. We would really appreciate it so we can send the message out. But like what Kay said, your license is your investment. Another thing that I want to add, aside from picking the right state of where you want a license and preparing for the NCLEX and considering all this credential evaluation, is once you get here to the US, can you please, everybody, get a liability insurance or professional liability insurance, because since we were talking about your license as your investment, if they take out your license, then you're done, right? You cannot work anymore. And that's why you wanted to go to the US to practice as a nurse. It will be a very, very expensive mistake to not do that. Mm-hmm. Malpractice insurance is only $100 a year. I'm not endorsing anyone. They're not paying me to do that. I'm just advocating for nurses to do that, right?
And we will talk about that more soon.
Yes, in our future shows. Yes.
Insurance. Yes, insurance. So coming up, let me encourage and everyone that knowledge is power. And yes, in order for you to save money, save time, save your effort, if you really want to come in the US and work and fulfill your American dream, MLEX is a must. It's not an option. It's non-negotiable. You must take an MLEX. It's a license. In order for you to work here, and if you're married, we have family, you can bring them, but you have to ask for MLEX. And it will start by applying for MLEX. And in order to be successful, rewatch the show, take notes, stay tuned with the MPLA, read the wonderful, reels on his TikTok. And Clay is coming back.
Hi, I'm back. You guys still on. I thought you guys are done already. But good.
We are wrapping up.
I'm giving my last wisdom, Clay. So let what Clay said and what our nurse called investment. Or now you're in the process of planting by selling all this money, paying the board of nursing, eligibility, person view, and SBN, but later on it's all worth it. So back to you, Clay, for your wisdom.
Oh, for me, if you are in nursing school, I would say, let's say you're spending $100,000, let's say, or let's say $20,000 for nursing school for your BSN. I want you, as early as when you start your nursing program and you have plans to get opportunities outside your country, I would definitely recommend you increasing that budget for your nursing school. So that will include your budget for your local board exam, your English exam, and your exams to other countries, because education is an investment. Mm-hmm. And coming from lower socioeconomic countries, it will be very beneficial, and it's a very good investment if you're going to use that also, you know, for your family's sake, to better off your life economically, to go to different places. And not only that, it boosts your experience. So one day you can just bring back your knowledge to where you came from and better off your family and your generation's life. Again, always set a budget, not only for your nursing program, but as well as for your credentials, for your licenses. Those are all investment. And I can guarantee you, that investment will have a very good return of investment. It's like real estate. Real estate is an investment. Business is an investment. Your stock market is an investment. Your education is an investment. Your licenses are your investment. Anything that can return something that you value the most, those are called investments. So consider that as an investment.
Right.
Okay. And got our nerf ball.
And I guess I said, I guess I said everything that I need to say, but preparation is key, as with anything in life. Without clear preparation, you will not be able to succeed. NCLEX is the same way. Coming to the US is the same way. You gotta be prepared, write down everything that you need to do, be goal-oriented as far as application process is concerned, as far as getting your ATTs is concerned, as far as choosing what state you want to apply for and work for. Those two things are not synonymous, because you can apply for one state because it's easier to apply for that state, say, for example, New Mexico, but you want to work in Connecticut or you want to work in North Dakota, whoever wants to work there. I'm just kidding. But California. So be goal oriented and really write down your goals or things to do so you don't lose track. It can get overwhelming. That's why people solicit the help of processing centers, because they're not just that detail oriented. if you're detail oriented, you know already that you like to write stuff or you like to put bullet points for your checklists. But be goal oriented. I think that is a very good quality of nurses, because we take care of complicated diseases of different human beings with different personalities. I think we are very good with setting up our goals, right? That's one of the good characteristics of being a professional RN. So be goal oriented, and it is overwhelming processing for the NCLEX until you pass the NCLEX. That's the first step. And then you go through the whole immigration processes that we talked about last week. That's another step. But if you set your goals, you can actually evaluate if you're getting closer to it, if you're deviating away from it, or if you need to switch your plans so you can stay on track. Very, very important. I'm big with orienting yourself to your goals. And every now and then, you can evaluate if you're moving closer to it. But that's it. It's all about preparation. And that's why we're doing the DNP show, to support you guys. But next week, we're going to do another show, Anna. We're going to do contracts and job offers. Ooh, I think this is Kate's favorite topic.
Kate's favorite. Oh, my God.
It's very
exciting. We will
open the microphone. Kate will open the show.
Yeah.
I will open the show. My God, I have to make sure my location is not accessible.
Right.
It's a very important topic. You know, clinically succeeding can be easily done by any nurse prepared, but succeeding in the street wise, not a lot of nurses actually are. Nurses as being the number one trusted professional, we're not oriented or well surrounded by people who will take advantage of us, because our profession is very ethical, and that makes us also vulnerable to predatory practice. So next week, yay, contract and job offers.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah.
I think we're going to need 3 hours for that. Oh my God.
Especially for an immigrant nurses community, because that's, you know, we want to try to curb and prevent human trafficking, abuse, and bullying for our immigrant nurses. That's why we need to talk about this, guys. What are the red flags in contracts and job offers? What you need to look for? What questions you should be asking? Mm-hmm. What are the specific items you're going to need to look for in your contracts and job offers? Specific wordings that you need to avoid? When should you sign and not sign a contract? Mm-hmm. So many things. This is going to be fun. Please join us.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Sunday, same time. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, my friend. All in play. Have a good day. Spend your time learning. Create what you want with DNP a lot. Have a good day and good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Bye.